back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I got a special guest in the building. I guess you could probably say he's like the Diamond D of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Good friend, produced probably more than half of my music through my lifetime, known as Ford. What's good, Ford?
My man. How you living, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you for coming.
Good, good, man. Blessed, man. Blessed to be here, man.
Let's get started with early Ford days. What got you into hip-hop in the first place?
Being an Army brat, living overseas and coming over here, I was already a fan of music, you know, from Luther to Phil Collins to the Police, you know, just a wild range of just different sounds. So I was already seeing sounds as a kid, and I just didn't know it. And just living in that culture of the 80s.
Yeah.
Break dancing and all that shit. And yeah, man.
Did you start out rapping before you made beats?
Yeah, I did. Well, I was dancing first.
You were dancing first?
I was breaking first.
Okay.
And I would rap too, but I would like mimic the songs and stuff that I like. But yeah, I probably would say I danced first. That was the first element that I tapped into.
Why'd you never really feel like get into rapping as much as beat making?
It didn't come to me yet. I was submerged in the culture already by then. Okay. But in the 80s, just figuring out what hip hop was and just knowing that it was for me, you know, I was just trying all the elements that it provides or that it had. And started with dance and breaking and stuff. And then my favorite songs, I recite them and you know, sing them and stuff like that. And then probably about fourth or fifth grade, I started trying to write my own stuff.
Okay.
And the beats and the sounds were still already paramount to me. But I don't know. It just didn't come to me right away. Even though it was already in me, it didn't come right away. So I just started with dance, started with rhyming. Then eventually I started DJing the older I got in high school and middle school. And that's when I really started seeing sounds with my ears. And I just fell in love with the creative process of manipulating sound.
How old were you when you first started making beats?
About 11 years old.
11 years old?
Yeah.
Okay. And was this hip-hop beats or just beats in general?
It was hip-hop.
And what were you using back then?
ASR-10, MPC, 3000, 2500, the other Insonic keyboard. I forgot what it was called. The Boss, Dr. Rhythm. It was like a little drum machine.
Okay.
Like that. And, yeah, those were the main ones.
Now, this was before Gallup Baker days?
Yes. No, this was after.
After Gallup Baker days?
Gallup Baker days, it was basketball, and I was more so a fan.
I thought you were older in the Gallup Baker days.
No, we was young.
You were about 11 or 12 then when you moved to Gallup Bakers?
Nope.
I thought you were about 14.
It was after. Shortly after. I got Gallup about 8, 7.
Okay.
7 to 8. And then, about 10, my mother moved across town, not too far from the old neighborhood where I was going to chapel.
Okay.
And that's when everything started, when I went to chapel.
Did you have any cats ever, like, take you under their wing or mentor you? Or just kind of help broaden your horizons of making music?
Yeah, the Character Assassins. That was a major group in Fayetteville. And
who from there, like, helped you out mainly with that group?
Rick Marvel.
He's actually overseas now, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think he's in Berlin right now.
Yeah, I seen that on Facebook.
Another good friend of mine, Zester Hare. He was in a rap group.
Zester Hare, shout out to Zester.
Yeah, Zee Hare. DJ Izzy Nice.
Izzy Nice, shout out to Izzy Nice.
Back then, he was Big Mike. And you had a couple of older guys that was just pouring into us and keeping us out of trouble, putting us on show on shows. This was when you ain't have to pay for a show. If you was nice, they was gonna have you open.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ain't have to pay to perform or none of that stuff. Psych, Top and Wave, DJ Tony Tone, you know, people like that, just being around those people. And they didn't really necessarily like show me how to do it. Like, I feel like in my mind when I remember, if I asked them to show me something, they would kind of nudge me off as just being a little kid, just being around.
Yeah.
So I would just watch, and then I would start writing down each step that they did in my mind that they did. And then I'll come back to the board later and apply what I wrote down.
Now, Rick Marvel, did he produce a lot of that? He was the producer, right?
Yeah, and he rapped too.
And he rapped?
Mm-hmm.
Now, was this around the time when Character Assassins was in the Source magazine?
Yep.
And that was literally the first group in the Source magazine from the Ville, wasn't it?
Yes.
And what was it, Unsigned Hype?
Yes, Unsigned Hype, yep.
And you don't even remember what year that was?
I want to say late 96. This was when the cover had Dre on the cover. He was leaving Death Row. It was a white cover, and it was Electric Chair, and Dre was leaving Death Row. It was that that issue.
I'm going to talk about Cat. I know you always big on Lord Professor.
That's my guy, man.
Is he like probably one of the biggest influences in your production?
He's one main one.
Who would those other main ones probably be?
Him, DJ Premier.
DJ Premier. Shout out to DJ Premier.
Man, it's a bunch. But them two are like Hall of Fame guys to me, you know. Stayed the same, never changed, and stuck to their guns.
Yeah. Who was the first artist that you like produced for that was non-local, somebody that was probably a significant name in hip-hop?
My first intro in the game was R.I.P.P.H. Pumpkinhead, man.
Pumpkinhead. Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah, Ruckus Records. He gave me a shot. That was like my first intro in the business. And then after that, it was on.
Is that one round when Ruckus had like 50 artists on the label?
I ain't gonna say 50, but
they had a bunch of artists.
A little bit before that, before they started, you know.
A little bit before Mos Def and Talib Kweli.
A little after that, around that time.
And how did Pumpkinhead die? I don't remember.
I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure how PH passed. Good dude though, real good dude, real cool, real funny. Anywhere I seen him, he showed me love. If I'm in New York, I bump into him in awkward places. Like I think the last I seen him in the flesh was Scribble Jam in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was a mic battle he was hosting, and I was talking shit. Like he let me in it, and I go crazy. He fucked around and let me in it and shit. And I think I went to like third round, and then I lost to a crowd favorite. And they thought I was kicking written rhymes and shit, but I wasn't.
Okay, so it was a freestyle battle, won a beat battle.
Yeah, it was a freestyle battle. Yeah, it was a mic battle. Yeah.
Have you actually done beat battles?
Yeah. I've done beat battles before. It's long behind me now, but
is that still a thing nowadays?
Hell yeah.
It is, beat battles.
Cats get busy. Shit, you seen the last beat battle with Knots and Bink?
Oh, I haven't seen that, but I remember a beat battle back in Fayetteville back in the days with that dude Incredible.
Yeah, R.I.P. Incredible.
Is he? Oh, he's died? I didn't know that.
Years ago.
Oh, man. Yeah, and he actually, whoever he was battling, like, I don't remember who it was, but hearing his beats, I was just like, they don't stand a chance. Just the drugs he had going with his stuff.
Yeah, Youngblood was nice. He was nice. He had that sauce, man. Yeah.
So what's some of the other cats you produce for besides like Pumpkinhead?
Man, I work with a lot of people, man. And I hate throwing names and stuff because I'm like a traveling rap, a beat traveling man, you know.
But, well, let's talk about, okay, I got one. You did a lot of production for the Rockness Monster album.
Yes, I did his first solo album, Rockness AP. So that's Rockness After Price.
Rockness After Price. Yeah. And you... would you say you produced the majority of the album?
I did. Yeah, I would say that.
Mm-hmm. And definitely some of the most significant tracks, if I'm not mistaken, like the one about Sean Price, rest in peace.
Yep. Yeah.
What was that process like?
It was cool, man. That was me and Rocco's time to really get to tap in with each other. Like, I knew Drew and Shuck and Noha and Sean, RIP. I knew those guys. And shout out to my man, Neff, Last American B-Boy, that connected that album for me to do that.
That's who connected that album for you? Okay.
The opportunity. So, process was smooth. We didn't have too many sessions where we were together, but I'll send stuff off, he'll send it back. And it was just like, it was just bouncing off each other like that. Next thing you know, he got like 20 records to pick from. And
And how many you produce?
I think like 9 or 10.
And how many was total on the album?
13.
Yeah, okay.
So I did a majority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much might as well say that was produced by a Ford album.
Yeah, you could say that. Shout out Ron Browse.
Shout out to him.
Pascal and somebody else. I'm sorry if I forgot you, but I think it was one or two more other guys, but it was just us four, pretty much.
So what's the goals going further, moving forward in life?
Last year, I created my own label, GLA, Good Look Arts.
Okay.
And I just want to kind of create an ecosystem where I can work with artists and we can work together and do projects together. And it's not just for musical projects. It could be for intellectual property ideas, just art in general. And I started that last year. I released 3 albums and a single last year. This year, I'm going to go overdrive, show my face more, try to help as many people as I can, stay left, stay free, make more money, and have fun, man. That's it, man. Be a better dad, better producer, and, bring some bridges to the Ville. You got to get out of here sometimes to go make some shit happen, man. You got to go to know. So the world ain't big enough. You know, take it more global. You know, I know some UK people. I'm kind of over there in the UK, but I want to be over there a little heavier.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be in a lot more other places too. So just work harder than what I've been doing. Show my face some more. Drop some albums with me rhyming on there. And got some real interesting projects coming in the can this year. So
have you ever, I know before I thought you said you was going to actually release like a Diamond D kind of album where you produce the album and you are rhyming over all the songs.
Yeah.
Is that still in the works?
Yes. I'm definitely going to do a couple of those this year along with some instrumental albums.
Yeah, because I've always said like you were like the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You know, you could rap just as good as anybody, make beats just as good as anybody, and most people can't really make beats.
Yes.
And some people can't even rap good, you know? Definitely.
Thank you, man.
So ain't no other projects or nothing that you worked on that you might want to talk about?
Oh, man.
Oh, that you're allowed to talk about too?
Yeah. It sucks. The reason I don't like throwing names and throwing projects and stuff out because
some stuff ain't released yet.
Some shit ain't released yet. Some shit might get changed. Some shit might not never come out.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm trying to think right now.
So with the label, is like, are you looking like you're going to start like trying to sign artists underneath the label and help push them or?
Not like that. No, yeah. I'm not going to operate like that. It's going to be more so a place where they can come and get support and we'll drop something that's like-minded together and then we'll push it together.
Let me ask you this then. This is, it doesn't pertain to Ford, but it's something I saw today and I thought it was J. Cole. Mm-hmm. He went on Google or YouTube and searched for J. Cole type beats.
Yeah.
and just picked a beat, rapped over it, and sent it to the guy and said, yo, throw this on you.
Yeah.
Yes. Do we need more of that stuff? Like, is that why Fayetteville's not like, let's talk about Fayetteville hip hop for a second. What do you think is holding us back as a whole collective? I mean, some people individually, they move, they operate, they do things, but as a collective, as a whole, what do you think it is? If you could just pinpoint one thing, if there is just one thing.
Really tapping in and finding your purpose, you know. A lot of people want to do what we do for the wrong reasons, you know.
What do you mean by that?
They want love. They want acceptance. They want to be cool.
Okay.
Not realizing that they already cool.
Okay.
I don't know.
And it seems a lot more of that going on in the music business nowadays. Like it's the cool thing to do.
And it's not for everybody. And it is a cool thing to do.
It's
a lot of cool things to do within it. We had a video shoot with a record I produced for my man Shame, Sinyaka, and Luke. And Luke signed to Dreamville.
Luke.
And we shot that video. I brought my son with me. My son is 16. But I want him to see other elements of the business, like the videographer, the photographer, the person that's handling the grips and stylists and different people that's in the culture, that's working, getting paid good and doing stuff, contributing, you know.
It's not just the MC. Rapper. Yeah, everybody, yeah. Like the rapper does the music, like he does everything, and he really doesn't do nothing but rap.
And not just the producer. So many elements. And I think,
and those are the most important elements, I would say. Like, you know, because there's two parts to the music business, making music and breaking music. And, you know, once you get past making music, that breaking music part is even so much harder.
Right.
It's even so much harder.
Yeah, man. And the Ville,
you think there's not enough support? Like Atlanta? Like Atlanta's like, I think that's why Atlanta took over.
Yeah.
New York got to a point where everybody was beefing with each other, not supporting. I guess they try to blame it on 50 Cent, but you can't blame it on one person like that. People, you know, choose to do what they do, react how they react. And Atlanta just has this support system in place that I've never really seen in favor. You've seen tidbits of it. You know,
it's in pockets, man.
Yeah, you see, like here and there, you'll see a little bit, but as a whole collective, it's like it's not there.
You just gotta figure out what you want to do, really, what you want to do as a person, and you can't stay here and just think people gonna come here looking for you. You gotta go and tap into your market wherever it's at, LA, New York, ATL. You gotta tap in and leave and come back. You know, if you want to, you know, stay here or whatever, but you got to go. You got to go to know. And I think artists with the internet, it's no excuse now. You know, you can
Thank you. You
can do whatever you want and make a plan. And you can kind of write your own narrative. It might take some time, but you can do it. So
you think there's also too much of the, like, why hasn't J. Cole put somebody on the Fayetteville mentality, or like he should put somebody on the Fayetteville, which I totally disagree with.
Yeah.
I think he did it the right way by putting on Luke, because he's a Charlotte artist, and I feel like Charlotte should be the hub for all Carolina music, not Fayetteville. We're only the fourth largest city. I mean, we might be the most talented, as we think. You know, we probably think we're the most talented, but that still don't.
Yeah,
you know, matter. We're not the biggest.
No, man. I mean, the fact is, man, he worked hard to create his own brand.
His own brand.
And he's picking who he wants to pick. And it's not one person that came out of Compton or one person came out of Queens or Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So keep working. Keep working so you can add on to the legacy that he's doing. That's how I look at it. You know, I kind of block out that why he ain't put, you know,
put
this person on or put that person on. I don't really entertain that stuff, man, because the guy's going to move how he's going to move. And what that got to do with you.
But like, we've had J. Cole, now we got Murray, who you know, a lot of people know who Murray is now too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, it really shouldn't be no excuses, right? Shouldn't people just be trying to
work,
sit yeah. back? Like you said, when you was like the little kid in the room and he's like, nah, we don't want to, you know, talk to you, give you no pointers, and you were just soaking up the info. Isn't people not soaking up this info? Like, they're not seeing the formula and they're not.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, if you're trying to do what we're doing, you better do something. You ain't getting no younger. You know, you got to get busy out here, man, and you can't wait for nobody to throw you no damn life raft, you know. Create your own boat. Make your own boat.
What's the future of hip-hop look like?
I think it looks great. It's getting bigger. If it's not worldwide by now, and still young.
It's still young. It's like the one of the youngest genres still, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
we still don't know like what this can be.
I'm excited because it creates so much opportunities for people to live out their dreams and be creative and tie music and business and sports and. It's amazing. I love it. God bless Kool Herc, man. I love it.
You heard what Charlamagne said about comparison of Kodak Black to Kendrick Lamar? Like, I guess he was kind of comparing him. Like, he's saying he's like a kind of like a god for his fan base, like a Kendrick Lamar or this generation and whatnot. Do you think he's like cats out of bounds with statements like that?
No, because this is the kids' era. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a lot of kids that identify with Kodak just like they did Kendrick and just like we did our favorites and our guys. So, no. You know, God would be extreme, but, you know, you remember how folks was looking at Tupac, how they felt about Tupac?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure people feel that same way about Kodak and he's worked hard to get himself in that position, you know. So no, I don't think it's out of bounds.
Yeah, like at first with Kodak, I wasn't on board, but as a music industry guy, I start to really see the genius in some of these cats, whether I don't like their music or not. You know, even like a cat like NBA YoungBoy, mm-hmm. I just think this cat has figured something out that a lot of other people, it's like smacking them in the face and they still can't see it. You know, why he was the second most streamed artist behind Drake. I mean, he's clearly not more popular than a Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, and some of these big names on a worldwide scale.
Yeah, but he's tapping into his market, which.
And he's doing it at such a high consumption rate where he's constantly just, you know, force feeding them. And it doesn't seem like these cats tend up slowing down anymore.
Right.
Do you think longevity is lasting longer nowadays?
Yes. Because we see it from Ice-T. Make breaking records.
Shouts out to Ice-T.
Yeah, SUV. Is it SUV?
Yeah, Law and Order.
SUV or
SVU.
SVU, yeah.
Special Victims Unit.
Yeah. Look at T, man. Look at LL, man.
LL.
Look at so many people, man. So, yeah, the longevity's going to be here. You know, it's going to be here.
Now, let me ask you this. You got a lot of people that just, I mean, we're from the 90s hip hop era. Mm-hmm. Are people too hard on this new generation?
I don't know.
Were they really influenced by our sound?
I don't know. Yes and no, you know.
Or is it this thing where this new generation, they feel like they don't do enough shouting out like old school names and songs and stuff like that and just really giving... shout outs.
It just depends, you know. It just depends because you can't blame the youth with what the elders didn't teach them. So, you know, the guy.
Yeah, isn't it like accountability on both sides with that? Absolutely. You can't just keep attacking them. You got to kind of like
you got to bring
you got to reach find a different way to go about it.
Yeah, because them kids came from somewhere. They came from us.
And doesn't it kind of like, it hurts both sides?
It can.
Because, I mean, as old schoolers, they want to keep,
yeah,
you know, going further in the end of times, you know. And some of these, I think, like you said, hip-hop is so young. I think some people thought this was going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And for everybody, it wasn't going to last forever.
Right.
Who's, like, your most, like, cast that just inspire you the most in hip-hop, man? Is there any, like, specific people, like Public Enemy or KRS-One or...
Oh, man, those are two good ones. Man, the Neptunes.
Neptunes?
Yeah, they really pushed me, man. Yay.
Yay.
It's a lot of people, man. It's just a lot. I can't even start from naming folks. There's so many. There's so many. North, south, east, west. I don't know what to start. I feel like it's like a lot bunch of lottery balls bouncing in my head of different people, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so many, man. Those were just Ye and Neptunes. Those were just some quick ones, but it's a lot.
What do you think happened to, like, the up north hip-hop sound? Like, what do you think that shift came with? Like, I've always said, the way I've always stated it is New York basically kicked hip-hop out of New York, and the West Coast was like, hey, you can come stay with me, girl. And California, just, you had the Dilated Peoples of the Worlds come out, and all, you know, Defar Eyes, whoever, whatever names, you know. What do you think that shift came from? Like, New York literally invented hip hop, and then all of a sudden I would go to New York and they're making music like us down south.
Just the culture just traveled, man. It just grew and traveled. You know, you got old enough to be able to start traveling, or you travel with your parents when you had to travel. That's what happened. And New York is such a transit city. It's a lot of North Carolinians.
You're right. We're like cousins. We're like cousins in New York.
So everything is moving. So after New York, it bubbled over, went to L.A., went to Texas, went to us, went to Mississippi. That shit's everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So I just think it just traveled and just kept growing and stuff. And New York had to go through a redevelopment stage, like a team, you know, like a team have to gut their old team out and rebuild.
They went through a rebuild.
Redefine they sound and stuff. Because there's so many ingredients now. There's so many different flavors and stuff and different restaurants with food.
Yeah.
And that's a good example to use, especially for New York. You go up to New York, there's so much shit to choose from to eat. So you got to figure out what you're going to do. But that's just New York City and the five boroughs. You're not talking about, like, the whole state. Some people never strayed, like 38, the guys up north, upstate New York, Buffalo.
They never... You're talking about 38 Special?
Yeah. Trust Gang and those guys, Griselda.
I love them.
They never strayed from that,
that sound. Yeah, that sound.
But what made it fresh was... they made a Rochester sound out of it. They made a Buffalo sound out of it.
You know, I'm glad you brought them up.
There it is.
Griselda. Mm-hmm. They're actually a group and a label that really got big off of the merch.
Yeah, they did.
Do you think more artists need to take that approach of put the merch as your main thing and let that sell your music?
To be honest, beautiful work of art to see Wes orchestrate that whole thing.
And they had these exclusive shirts that once they sold out, that was
music,
it.
Through music, he pretty much pitched his clothing line.
Yeah.
Not merch. His
line. Well, your clothing line. Yeah.
But I mean, merch is the word that artists use, but he looked at it as a clothing line.
Yeah.
And he really went hard with the art on the shirts that the music became like the soundtrack and addition to everything else.
It was like one hand washed the other.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of artists, they should take more of that approach. They just all caught up on, you know, whatever I makes a hit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yourself nowadays, we're not really just selling music no more nowadays.
Selling us. So
yeah, you're selling everything, a total package. In the 90s, you probably would say we were selling more just music, right?
Yeah, because it wasn't bust down. The ideas weren't here yet. Yeah. These different opportunities weren't here yet. And so
what do you think about, like, okay, think about back then, like, distribution had the greatest value in the world. You got distribution and you had a street team and enough posters to put in mom and pop joints and a good album. You were typically good to go.
Yeah.
Nowadays, distribution has really no value because 100,000 songs are being distributed. But I mean, there's so much more independent artists nowadays.
Yeah.
Is it, you think it's better or worse?
Better as in what?
Like
being indie or?
Yeah, indie. Cause like a lot of people always complain about label contracts, the freedom to just put out what you want to put out, the control, freedom of control and whatnot. Because we know when labels get involved, they always want to put their input with your music, you know? And some people just want to make music, man.
Right.
Do you think nowadays gives people a chance to just make music?
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
With less control and less oversight. Mm-hmm. And
so many options out here to put your music out. Yeah. If you don't want to sign a label. Or if you do want to sign a label, just know, inspect what you expect, you know, and it's no excuse not to not know what you're getting into at this point, you know. So, yes, a lot of different routes. Indie is a great route, too. It's not easy.
It's not easy, you're right.
The other side ain't easy.
No, it's not easy either.
You still got to work.
You still got to work, yeah.
Either way, you still
got
to work.
Because they're going to give you an advance, and you still got to work, unless you already got, you know, millions of fans when they sign you, you know? So, and that's the thing. Like, in the 90s, they literally signed people off of talent. You could literally just...
Or potential.
Potential talent. You could spit 16 bars and get signed like that.
Yeah.
You know, and nowadays it's like they always want to sign an established brand for the most part, unless you're a cat like J. Cole, you know. But of course, J. Cole had a good manager who had good relationships, signed with Jay-Z.
Then when you sign somebody, you're spending money.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you
and
get
then you still got, that's the thing, they still got to put, you know, Cole out and see what this could be. And now we see what it could be. Is there any cats that you haven't worked with that you want to work with one day? Like, who's somebody you just want to work with so bad or just really want to work with one day?
Man, I know I want to be on I know I want to make a Cole album for sure.
You want to just like a beat on that?
Yeah, I definitely want to do a record that makes an album up there. Nas.
And he's actually allowing people to produce more records nowadays, right?
I'm not sure.
I think I heard that he's actually, you know, going out. Because Cole's always typically produced his own records. Mm-hmm. And I've heard he's actually going out, you know, and that's why I think he also did that record where he just went and found a beat and rapped over it, which I think is still one of the most. Because he just sent the song to the guy and said, throw this on your page. Mm-hmm. And for this guy, his page has got to be going... Yep. But nuts.
It should be now.
Exclusive Cole record nobody had, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that could definitely help.
Yes, it can.
Help some careers out, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, you know, like, do you think, like, the producer themselves, like, when, like, you produce these records, you got to kind of make sure you do what you do need to do with the record so people know, like, I was involved because – you know, you can't always, when you do features with artists, like I'm not going to say no names, but I paid artists for features and they don't do, you know, they don't really get behind the record or nothing at all. They won't even, like, if you tag them in a Facebook, they won't even like the post or comment or nothing. I just think it's so whack, you know.
And you paid for that feature?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it go. I mean, sometimes.
And we know paid features, not every, you know, like.
That's the breaks.
everybody doesn't really always, they're not always into the record and whatnot.
Yeah, and they just treat it as business as such, but can't take that personal, you know. Just push the record, you know, and use them.
Yeah, just do what you can with it. Absolutely. So, you know, on your side and whatnot.
Absolutely. That's it. That's all you can do. And that's, you know, that goes to show you, like, you don't really need a feature like that. Some people just be thirst just to have attention to their record. But if it don't make sense, you know, I wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't get no feature on that.
Well, at the end of the day, you as an artist still got to really stand on your own two feet, even with the features.
You absolutely do. And you coming from the ground floor, to me, you kind of in a better place to really rock somebody, like Still Off.
And I promoted plenty of these features with names like NLE Choppers features and whoever features. And the artist doesn't always get what they want out of it because they think Spotify is just going to open up the Rap Caviar playlist.
Yeah.
And they're really going to open up, if they do open up some playlists, which they typically will if you got a real big major feature, but they're not going to throw you on the playlist that they would normally throw that major artist on.
Those guys got a job to do. And if you fire, you'll make Caviar. They'll come to you.
Yeah. Who's some other cats you want to work with besides J. Cole?
I mentioned Nas.
Nas, okay.
Yay, sometimes.
Okay, let me ask you. Okay, you done said his name twice.
Yeah. I fuck with you. Artist, yeah.
Being a podcaster, man, I don't do just music. I do politics, world events, sports, whatever. Yeah. And everything is politicized. I'm a little nervous the way they're going after Yay. This is why I'm nervous. If they can censor all his endorsements, does it stop with the music?
I don't know. They could try. They could try to do whatever they want, but it's in the streets already. You know? Even the context of the question that you asked me is that's already out there. So it's not really it's not really stopping them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's still going to spread. Think, like
I guess what I'm trying to get at, you think this censorship thing is ever going to leak over into the music? Because a cat like Luke.
Yeah.
A cat like Luke
fought for us.
Really fought for us.
Yeah. No, I mean, no, because.
And shout out to Luther Campbell.
Yeah, shout out Luther Campbell for real. No, because by that point, you just cherry picking.
Yeah.
I mean, Ye is minute to what's going on out here in the world.
Yeah, so. There's so much other things.
Right, yeah. So, I just think they just. You know, the media is just able to create income and shit off of him.
But do you think people will attempt it, though, for a cat like him?
It has been attempts before.
You think so?
Yeah. It has been attempts before, but rather we realize it or not, the people got control.
Yeah, because there was even one, like, people say it's a rumor, like, it was a rumor, the Aretha Franklin, people wanting to. But this is the thing, though. Okay. I can believe it also wasn't a rumor because of this climate with the transgenders and stuff and this what is a woman climate and that natural woman song.
Yeah.
I can honestly would believe that would offend people.
Yeah, but that
even though it's ridiculous to me that song would offend anybody.
There we go to the cherry picking.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You know what I'm saying? So we you know, you can't be walking soft-footed on one thing.
Walking on eggshells, yeah.
And then do this on the other side. So that shit is just please and shit to me. That shit I never, never. Because if you're going to start doing that, it's a whole nother can of worms, a Pandora's box that is.
And so you were, if Kanye West called you today and wanted to work with you, you'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll work.
Yeah, I respect that. I love that.
Go to Wyoming.
Because there's a lot of people out there that would be like, well, if I work with Kanye, like when Nori removing the interview, I was so upset about that. I was just so upset about it. And even one of my favorite rappers, I got to call him out. Now, I done did an episode. Joyner Lucas did a song called Ye Not Crazy and then removes it. And I'm sitting up thinking, damn, did you remove it because of the pressure? If you removed it because of pressure, okay, I could see that because you know, that's everybody's walking on eggshells. They're afraid to lose endorsements. But if you just thought, I'm going to remove it just because, then it's like you're almost helping these people try to censor this guy.
Yeah, or he just playing the business game, you know, don't want to lose no sales or
streams. And that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe he noticed a difference or something. Who knows?
Well, he lost me before that, yeah, so,
you never,
you know.
You never really know. You never really know. I fuck with Jordan Lucas, too.
Yeah.
He's cold. I work with him, too. But, yeah, he just don't know, man. Might have been a business move.
That'd probably be a nice combo, too, Irvin Ford and Jordan Lucas.
Yeah, might have been a business move for Jordan. So you just never know nowadays, man. Never know.
Yeah, I just hope this censorship doesn't leak in music because of what Luke had to fight for. And it's like, once you start tracking music, I think everything's open game.
Yeah.
It's open season for everything, you know?
Yeah. We'll see, man. I don't think so, but I don't know.
For most people don't know, what would you like say your production style is?
Oh man, loose, left field, fun, aggressive, assertive, a bastard.
I would throw in versatile too.
Yeah, that's what I mean by the bastard. Just saying,
like
no,
it's
no
harder.
Problem.
Like you can't, you know, when you listen to Premiere, you typically know, oh, that's a Premiere beat, and I prefer producers that are typically versatile.
Yeah.
Because they can just give you so many. And not that Premier is not versatile. You know, he can give you a lot of different moods and stuff.
But he's more signature.
Yeah, you got that signature. He's a super signature. You hear a Ford beat, you can't necessarily, like, oh, that's Ford.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You remind me of Pete Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of you like a Pete Rock.
Salute Pete.
Or even a Diamond D, because I don't think, like, but Diamond D's a signature producer.
Yeah,
but I always looked at you as a Diamond D because
Dilla was that for me too.
Dilla,
yeah,
okay.
Dilla was a guy that you couldn't never put your finger on, and you could tell it was him, but you couldn't tell it was him sometimes.
He seemed to have one of, you know, it's probably shameful for me to say this. I was never really a big Little Brother and Dilla like fanatic,
yeah,
but they had one of the biggest impacts, I realized.
Yeah, from Slum V to Knife and Pooh and Tay.
And to this day, there's just so many.
They did for Carolina on out. Yeah.
Didn't he, if I'm not mistaken, did he invent like the lo-fi sound or whatever?
Dilla?
Yeah.
Well, that sound was already bubbling from Q-Tip.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's just using jazz.
Okay, so that's what they, I've always wondered what they classify as the lo-fi sound.
Those type of vibes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's another group that was, yeah. I was not the biggest fanatic of them, but their impact was bigger than I realized.
Q-Tip, Dilla, Aliq, Shaheed Muhammad, you know, earlier guys like Sean J. Period.
Okay.
And kind of creating that smooth but aggressive hard bop, you know, hard big drums kind of, but still smooth. And kind of neo-soul-ish before neo-soul started becoming neo-soul. Like, that's where that shit came from to me.
If you could name three cats you think just had the biggest impact on hip-hop, who would they be? Thinking one's got to be Pac, right?
Yeah. Ain't come to mind, but yeah, Pac is definitely one. Just for me, again, Ye is one of them.
Yeah, he's had a big impact on hip hop, on hip hop.
I'm a fashion,
on the culture period, culture.
I'm a culture, fashion, music guy. So
and he came up so fast, success wise and mm-hmm. business wise.
Yeah, Pac, Ye, Jay, there's so many, man. There's so many.
Public Enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a super big impact around that time, right?
Absolutely. And then you got your lost heroes, like style heroes.
Let me throw one on. Let me throw one in, you though. Let me throw one on left field.
Yeah.
I always felt like Criss Cross had a big impact on hip hop. Because you talked about fashion and everything. Like, they literally changed the game of how everybody in the world.
They did.
Was dressing.
Jermaine and them, they were doing some shit.
I remember as a kid, like, going to high school, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you did this, but all the boys at Douglas Bird, I think we was at junior high then, seventh grade, they come out with the jump joint with the pants on backwards, and We all tried it for about a day or two until we had to go to the bathroom and try to piss. And
I never tried.
It didn't work. Of course, I think you were a little, you were probably elementary then. You might have been a little bit younger.
Yeah, I was coming behind y'all, but yeah, I never tried.
Yeah, it was like everybody in school literally, because we was wearing fit jeans before that.
Yeah.
And then Crisscross came out and it was baggied up.
Well, I think we was wearing baggies before.
Not super heavy like that.
Yeah, I was.
Not in Jugger's birthday, was it? It was like everybody was baggy jeans, pants backwards.
I remember that.
And then it didn't last for 2 days, and then it just, they just turned it back around. And then it went to skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, I would say, it's probably back to fit jeans again now, ain't it?
It's wherever you want to
be. Yeah, it's really wherever you want to be now, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And fashion has always had a big part of this.
Yes.
Big part of this.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
They kind of go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, they do. Dapper Dan was just talking about that in an interview I seen. That's the best way to connect for a clothing line to get with artists.
Just get like a major artist or whatnot, a big face?
Or just artists in general too. Help them articulate and blow out more of their brand and, get bigger. So just to go on piggyback on what you said, there is hand in hand.
All right. Before we go, you got any advice for any up and coming artists or producers? Especially producers. Yeah. Let's start with producers. Any advice for
producers, if you love it, you got to put your 10,000 hours in. You got to
10,000.
10,000 hours in any skill set that you love, you got to put that 10. In, and that don't even guarantee that you make it. You gotta love this shit. You gotta do your research. You gotta go back in history to figure out what you're doing and gain some respect and some humility and love and appreciation for us to be able to get paid off doing some shit like this. Like it's big. So if you love it, put your 10,000 in. Learn what you can. Don't be afraid to be around people that's better than you. Get with them, get in rooms with them, and get better with them and network. And if you're in a small city or a small town, don't just sit your ass there. Get your ass up and go to places that's important. Open mics are cool. Don't pay for performances. If you want to open for Jeezy or something, don't pay for that shit. Pay for trips to go to places where your market is at so you can network and be around like-minded people. And you can come back home to the small town and use the internet as a heavy presence as well. And that's what I used to do. I used to meet these managers, songwriters, A&Rs, and whoever online, build a rapport with them for a few months, and then we'll meet in LA for something. Or we'll meet in New York for something. Then you're able to shake someone's hand, look in the eyes. And then you're going to meet five people out of him. And that them five might be the people that you really needed to fucking connect with.
Yeah.
So networking, opening your mouth, getting sharper, learning other skill sets so you can earn income while you're doing this. Because the money's not always there at the beginning. It's not there at the beginning. You got to work.
You think it's any easier to be a producer or an artist?
Some people may say it's oversaturated. Some people may say this or that. But at the end of the day, the fact that's never going to change is you got to be dope. And you got to know what you're doing. And if you do, then abundance is coming.
You think it's easier for producers to get work fast than rappers?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Because I think one problem I think most artists have is a lot of people think just because they make music, they should get paid to perform.
Right.
And that's not how it works.
No. Uh-uh.
If you can't bring a certain amount of people through the door for a certain amount of dollars, no smart show promoter is going to pay you to perform if you can't bring no money through the door.
Right.
And I think that's, I know we always like, we're supposed to get paid because there are this, that, and the third. But I think that's where the disconnect comes, is that there's a point where you're not supposed to get paid. And then once you reach that point, then okay.
Yeah.
Now we get money. We get shows, we get features, this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
You know, but I think if more people actually have that mindset of, because I've always looked at it like back in the days, you used to go to the grocery store and you got the lady passing out the small derbs with the toothpick, and they're trying to, they give you one and trying to get you to buy it right then and there. Mm-hmm. But they're getting you a free sample and trying to get you hooked. It's like a legal dope game.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give them that crack, a little bit of that crack at first, get them hooked, and then try to reel them in. But these people they're trying to sell crack with no customers.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah, man. You're right. You got to start humble sometimes, and all the time. You got to crawl before you walk.
Yeah. And
you may not get paid monetarily like that. You might get paid in different ways.
Get
paid in networking.
Or fan base,
or just having good music.
Which turns into you getting paid.
Yeah. So it's all how you look at it.
They want to skip steps in the process.
Yeah.
And it could be that most of the time, they just don't know.
And those don't last. Them people don't last anyway.
Any social media links you want to shout out?
Yeah. You can check me out at on IG, Ford. .910, and that's the number 4 ORD 910. Twitter, Built for Tough Bo. Facebook.
So that's what Built for Tough BO?
Yep.
Bo?
B-O,
okay.
Bo, yep.
And Tough, how do you spell Tough in it? T U F F?
Yeah, T U F F.
So that's Built for Tough with T U F F and Bo at the end.
Yeah, Bo at the end. Urban Ford on Facebook.
Urban Ford on Facebook.
It's two Urban Fords, though. One's my dad, and then that's Junior, and then it's me. But mine's is the orange logo, and they'll say Built Ford Tough on there.
And too. On Spotify, it's 4ORD, right?
Yes. Ford ORD.
Do they got to search for you? They can't just put in the backslash of that? You don't have, like, a regular channel link that would be, like, Spotify.com/J Cole or something like that.
Yeah. I can get you that.
Okay. Well, and I'll throw it in the description and whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll get you that. Definitely got that. Yeah.
Ford on Spotify. And what do you got on Spotify? Like the beats?
I got my instrumental albums.
Instrumental albums?
Yeah. It got Pull Up Shooters Volume 1, Super Duty Tough Work, and Don't Be Surprised When the Bill Comes. All instrumental albums. And I got a single called Dialed up there.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm rhyming on
now, that. Now, what if somebody wants to actually get some beats from you?
Hit me on the IG. Hit me on Twitter.
Hit them IG, Twitter.
YouTube. Anywhere. Especially those social media handles. But yeah, hit me
and
up there.
You do what? Exclusive and leases?
We do it all. Just hit me, baby. We talk about it, and we get you rolling, man. Get you fresh, dressed, and ready to go.
And I could vouch. I mean, I think I'm like the white Dr. Dre when it comes to picking beats. You know, I've always picked some of the best beats that you made. Because but you've always made nothing but bangers, and you always got like a variety. I mean, if you want a club joint, you want a down south joint. You got trap beats. You want some golden age hip hop sounding. With them nice drum kicks that just hit super hard that I like. Like Sound the Alarm, Paul Masson. I mean, yeah. Faye and I'm Scumbags, me and Stranger the Great.
Yeah.
Yes. Hit this dude up.
Thank you, man.
Once again, I want to thank you for coming in, my friend. Oh, that's right. COVID.
Oh, no, nah, that's just something I got COVID used to fist doing bumps. And shit. But yeah, my man, my brother from another.
And we out.
Mr. Pickett's. There it is.